Note as we read this, Peter and his attitude, and Peter and how he reacts and how he responds to what is going on. Let's begin and pick up in verse 3 of Acts 10. Speaking of Cornelius, he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at all four, at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause for wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send from thee into his house, and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So they have come together. Peter now would expound upon the Lord Jesus Christ, speak to these, and I did read a little bit of that already. If you break in at verse 42, it says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So we see Christ is preached. As we skip down a bit in verse 44, it tells us, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." So as we've read God's word here, we have seen the passage of Cornelius, we have seen his vision, we have seen Peter's vision, and let's just note in particular first Peter. And what we have with Peter here, let's look at the larger issue here in a sense. Yes, there's a man that was saved and also others around Cornelius. And as we often say, the verse speaks of how there's joy in heaven when one soul repents. But you know, looking in one sense beyond his soul, not saying that to belittle any man's salvation, but looking beyond that, we see that this chapter really just points out a lot in the transitional period of Acts. As we see here, we see the Gentiles now have the door open in a larger way as far as the gospel going forth to them. As we would have already read in 11 and 18, as the statement would be said, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." You know, it's interesting that not only here, as I mentioned earlier, but there are other places. One being Acts 15. We'll see that, Lord willing, in a few studies. And then over in Galatians, we'll see that there are times in the early church when there was this struggle upon what effect does Judaism, what effect does the law, what effect does these things that we, our fathers, have followed, what effect do they have now that you're coming to us preaching Christ? We see in Galatians the issue coming up once again about ones that had profess Christ, and yet Paul would ask them in chapter 3, he would say, "You that have begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfect by walking according to the law?" We see that he challenges them and says, basically in the book of Galatians tells us that on one hand we are justified by faith, and also he comes back and makes it clear that we are to walk and be led by the Spirit and not by the law. So we see that our salvation, nor our, if you might say, sanctification, would come by the law. We see that we are saved by Christ, justified by faith, and we are to be walking by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and not by necessarily saying, "This is a set of rules that's going to sanctify me before God." We see Galatians does an excellent job of coming along beside Romans, and in one sense, Romans gives us the gospel, and Galatians comes back and says, "This is what the gospel's not." So we see a tremendous study when you put Romans and Galatians beside one another. But anyway, I wanted to point out Galatians because there we see these issues brought up. The things that were perhaps stumbling some that had come out of Judaism was a problem to many. We see an issue in chapter 15 when we would see that between the first and second missionary journey that the issue of circumcision, and usually we see in Galatians, or be it Acts 15, or be it over here in Acts 10, the issues are, should you eat certain things? Should you eat with the Gentiles? What about if you're not circumcised? These are the kind of issues that would come up, that ones would question, and ones would have these stirs about, and ones would challenge one. And Peter himself would have a lot of peer pressure, if you will, put upon him. You may see that in just a moment. Some of it not so bad. We see Paul would challenge Peter. Paul would stand before Peter and would stand him to the face on these issues. And yet also, Peter had the challenge of those that were of the circumcision and ones that would be trying to, in a sense, bring him back under the law. So we see peer pressure given to Peter from two sides. Let's just back up and try to stay in the context of Acts 10:11 for a while. But let's ask the question about this issue that's before us with the Gentiles being given the opportunity to be saved. Has it been prophesied before? Look with me in Isaiah 49, and we see that, yes, it had been said that the Gentiles would be given the open door. The open door of the gospel would be given. Has it been prophesied? In Isaiah 49, remember in verse 6, 49 and 6 of Isaiah says, "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee a light to the Gentiles or the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." If you back up into verse 5, it's speaking of, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him." We see a lot said of the servant, my servant, his servant in the book of Isaiah. So that leads into the comment in verse 6 about a light shall be given to the Gentiles. If you move on into the New Testament, we would see, if you want to turn with me to Matthew 15, we would ask the question, has Christ himself addressed the issue of the Gentiles and their opportunity to be brought into the salvation offered by God? In Matthew 15, we see a very interesting approach from our Lord. And by the way, while we're talking about what Christ had to say and things surrounding him and around in the gospel, when he was just a babe in Luke chapter 2, no need to turn there while you're turning to Matthew 15. If you remember that time when Simeon held up the baby and in his quote, he quoted that from Isaiah, I believe it was from Isaiah 49, about a light unto the Gentiles. That was even quoted by Simeon. But here in Matthew 15, let's look at this, the woman of Canaan spoke with the Lord. And just look at how he responded to her in Matthew 15:21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So there's, in a sense, kind of an illustrative little passage about how the Lord speaking of being sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and yet here are others. Here is a woman that in a sense, is speaking of eating from the crumbs that fell off the master's table. Isn't that something, the blessing that we have, that we as poor Gentiles have been brought into the grace of God? Just a nice little illustration of that. As you go through Matthew in particular, but in the Gospels, you see how, just as a side note, how the kingdom had been offered, and then yet we see how they rejected the king, and yet then we see how he seems to move toward the Gentiles and giving them the word. Join us next week with the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry, Monday to Friday at 1 o'clock.